Wow. I was kind of hoping they wasn't through. I know some of you all were too. That's good, wasn't it? I'm going to have to be fair with you now. I've been blessed in singing this week. And I'm going to tell you, that puts the pressure on the preacher when the singing's that good. You have to rise to the occasion. The only way we can do that is through the Lord, though. Amen. Let me tell you where I'm going to be at in the scripture, and you can be putting your finger there while I talk to you for a few moments. Luke 20, verses 1 through 20. Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. Luke 2, 1 through 20. And a lot of you who were raised in church and participated in Christmas plays will probably be able to quote this scripture. You won't even have to look at it. But I'll read it to you in a moment. But while you're looking there, just listen to me for a moment. Some of you have asked about the sermons that we're recording. And that's what my wife's doing over there. She's got recording it into the computer. And you want to know how you can get these. They're being posted to the website. Now, Monday nights didn't do. We had something go wrong somewhere. I don't know what it was, but it didn't do Monday night. We got last night's, and it's up on our other website, the other ministry we do, the Fresh Fire Ministry website. It's already posted. If you want to hear that, some of them said, yeah, I want my children to hear that or whatever, then you can go to that. Let me tell you how you can get to these websites. It's on the www.freshfireministries.com website. I'll give that to you again, www.freshfireministries.com. And you can go there and just click on the streaming audio link and it'll go to them. And if you can't remember that, go to the Troup County Baptist Association website. Y'all should have that much literature as I send out on that. And it's www.troopbaptist.org. Click on the Fresh Fire icon. It'll take you right to the same place. I have enough said about that. Tonight I want to try to bring a sermon that I've entitled, How to Build a Spirit-Filled Church. Monday night we talked about how to go from ordinary to extraordinary. Last night we talked about what's driving you. Tonight we're going to bring it right in on how to build a spirit-filled church. And would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Luke 2, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Would you join me in a moment of prayer and ask God's blessings on this service? Father, I do come to you tonight, Lord, first and foremost, Lord, thankful, God, for the many blessings that you've given us today. Lord, thank you, God, for the sweet fellowship we sense in this church tonight. And Lord, this wonderful blessing we've received in the music. God, thank you for that. And Lord, we pray now as we come to the preaching portion of this service. Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd just pour your spirit out upon this place. God, as we're assembled here tonight for a little while, let us turn off everything that, Lord, that the world can do and give us that would distract us, Lord. And God, let us just for a little while get our mind on you. And Lord, just let us have a wonderful time in you tonight, Lord. Let us laugh. Let us cry. Let us listen. Let us hear. Let us be attentive. Let us be convicted. God, let us be changed, Lord, by being in this place tonight. God, if there be that one here tonight who does not know you as their Savior, I specifically lift them in prayer to you right now, God, and pray you'd save them tonight. God, speak to us, your people. Revive us, Lord, I pray. And I ask these things now in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. How to build a Spirit-filled church. Now, I want you to know tonight, right off the bat, that I make no claims to have all the answers to tell you how to do what I've taken for a text scripture tonight. If you really want to know all the expertise of this, you'll have to ask Brother Clifford after the service is over. And I know he knows, but I don't know all there is to it. But you know, I do know something tonight. I know that for whatever the reason, God saved my soul. And he called me to preach this gospel. And tonight I'm just God's preacher boy. But I'm anointed by the one who does have all the answers. Anointed to preach his gospel in season and out of season. And bless God, them out of seasons do come every once in a while. You know, folks don't always want to hear good, hard preaching. I just don't understand it. They get mad at you. Preach like I do, you're continually ducking or puckering one or the other. They either hate you or love you. But listen, anointed to preach the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Anointed to preach a gospel of hope to the hopeless. Anointed to preach a gospel of healing to the sick. And a gospel of joy to the depressed. And a gospel of freedom to those who are in prison. Anointed to preach that Jesus Christ is the virgin born Son of God. The second part of the Trinity. Who came to this earth, lived a sinless life, gave his life on Calvary, was dead for 3 days. But the third day resurrected victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and you. And is soon coming to receive us to himself. And you know what goes right there? Glory. Amen. Glory. Ain't that good to know tonight? Amen. Now you recognize the scripture I've read today as the Christmas story. But let me assure you tonight that I'm not going to preach a Christmas sermon. I'm going to preach a Christ sermon tonight, not a Christmas sermon. Today I want to deal with this subject, how to build a Spirit-filled church. Now, for the church to be Spirit-filled, it must be built on a supernatural encounter with God. Now, I want you to let that sink in. But before I get too much further, let me stop and make a point. Spirit-filled doesn't always mean shouting, running, hooping, and hollering. In fact, I found most of the time in my ministry, that's the most shallow portion you'll ever find. And I like to shout, and I like to hoop, and I like to holler. But the Spirit-filled that I'm talking about comes from a holy encounter with a holy God. Doesn't always make you shout. You know, I saw folks go out of here last night, tears running down their face. Wasn't tears of sadness, tears of joy. Sometimes I get to squalling like that. Sometimes I just get so full of myself and the Lord, I just don't know what to do with myself. Y'all ever get that way? Amen. It just gets good. But listen, There's some folks that's never shouted one iota. That's probably 100 times more spiritual than I'll ever be. They've just got that walk with God. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Say amen. Amen. But now let's go a little further. For the church to be spirit-filled, it must be built on a supernatural encounter with God. For too long now, we've tried to build the church on programs, hype, and even hysteria. I want you to know tonight, it's time we tear down all the false walls that we have built and call church and get back to a correct foundation, which is a supernatural encounter with God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not going to run this rabbit, but just a little bit down the trail. If we could peel back all the layers of those who are in our churches today who are claiming to be children of God, I believe it would be astounding to us how many that we would find who do not even know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Serving in areas of leadership who cannot look at you and say, I've been born again. You know, it's a haunting question to ask somebody, have you been saved? They say, I think so. They say, well, tell me how you know you've been saved. Well, I've been a good person all my life, and I've went to the church all my life, and I've had them tell me I'm a Baptist. Bless God, that won't get you to heaven. Amen. That might get you going the other way. But listen, folks, we got to be able to know that we know that we know that we've been born again, that our name is written down, that we've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. I had an encounter with Jesus Christ one night at an old-fashioned altar in a little church down in LaGrange, Georgia. And when God got through with me, I hadn't been the same since. And I don't want to be the same. People tell me, they say, you're crazy for believing like you do. You're stupid for preaching like you preach. I don't mean this ugly, but please don't be offended with me when I use this word. But I've had folks tell me, say, you're retarded for believing like that. I have. I've had them tell me that. But you know what? You know what my response is? If you think something's wrong with me for being this way, do me a favor and pray that I'll get worse. Amen. Pray I'll have a double relapse of it, because I'm having them all. Amen. I've had a supernatural encounter with God. I know what it is to be born again. Now listen, I want to look at this scripture tonight. The first point I want you to see is a supernatural encounter with God will always draw you to Jesus. I want you to notice what these shepherds we read about were doing. I think it goes without saying tonight that there wasn't anything special about these shepherds. They were normal shepherds. They did normal shepherd stuff. It was a normal night that we read about. They were watching normal sheep. Wasn't anything special about these sheep. They were engaged in their normal routine. And unless something happens now, they're in this routine. Now, to say the least, now y'all, go with me. You read the story like I did. To say the least, their routine was dull, predictable, and boring. Amen. And unless something supernatural happened, they would have absolutely no interest in changing their routine. Now I want to look for a moment inside the majority of most churches. They are filled with normal people that are doing normal people stuff. It's a normal day in most of our churches. They engaged in their normal routines. And to say the least, oh, y'all don't even want me to go here, do you? Those routines are what? Dull, predictable, and boring. Unless something supernatural happens, they'll have no interest in changing things. Now, most folks don't particularly like the idea of being told that they're in a spiritual rut, and that, quite frankly, the church services are boring. But let me ask you something today. Is it any wonder that people are leaving churches by the droves today? Is it any wonder, listen to what I'm about to tell you, that more than half, not just the Baptist now, but more than half of all the churches that name the name of Jesus Christ have either plateaued or are in a state of decline? Is it any wonder? But note, when something supernatural happened, the shepherds immediately said, "Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When the church has a supernatural encounter with God and quits doing its dull, predictable, boring stuff and gets up and says, "Let us go to Jesus," let me tell you something. The folks will take notice of it in the community and they'll say, "Let us now go even unto the church house and see what's going on down there." Wow. Because you see, old Joe used to drink nothing but a drunk, a sot, beat his wife, deprived his children. But he went down to the church house, and Joe don't act that way anymore. Something happened. I got to know what's going on down at that church house. Now listen, we want folks to come, but you got to give them something when they get here. Amen. You know what? Brother Anderson will bear me out on this. We all remember the tragic events of 9/11, don't we? Remember it just like it was yesterday. As the depth of this tragedy began to settle in on me, one of my first reactions, and Brother Anderson got one of these, was I sat down and sent an email to all the pastors in the association, all 41 of them. You know what I told them? I told them something like this. I said, "Fellas, get ready. Your churches are going to be full Sunday morning. You'll see people you haven't seen in a long time. And you'll see people that you'll probably never see again. But this Sunday, you've got one shot. And bless God, when they come there, have something to say to them. Have a word from God." And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't know enough about this church to be your judge. I am not your judge. As far as I know, everything's lovely, hunky-dory-do, and you're happy. I don't know you. I'm just preaching the message that God gave me tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a crying shame, whether it be this church or any church, when a lost sinner can walk in off of that street and sit in our pews and go through our services and never be touched by the Spirit of God and walk out lost and doomed and damned for a devil's hell. God have mercy on us. God have mercy on us. We need to give them something. They need to hear the message, whether it be through a song, a Sunday school lesson that's taught, or a sermon that's preached, or a smile on your face. They need to hear Jesus loves them. Now I'm going to tell you what, I preached a message last night. And right before we left, I had you do something. How many of you remember what I had you do during the altar call? Hold your hand if you remember it. You remember what I had you do? I had you go look at somebody and do what? Go smile. Now let me ask you this. How many of you remember other than that? How many of you remember what I preached on last night? I had to stop and thank myself. But you know what? You remembered that smile, didn't you? What am I telling you? I'm telling you sometimes that smile's the best sermon you're going to hear in a long time. Not that Brother Anderson's not a good preacher. He is. Why, me and him both are legends in our own minds. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You remembered the smile a whole lot more than you did the exegesis of the Scriptures. Because that smile was a living sermon. You remember somebody coming up and hugging you last night and saying, I love you. You've been a blessing to me. You remember those things. Oh, I got to move on. Listen, we need to have something to say when they come, and the church needs to be exciting and on fire for God. Which reminds me of a joke. If I told it to you, make like you ain't never heard it before. In the old West days, the town church caught on fire. For many Sundays, many weeks, the preacher had been witnessing to the town atheist. And the town atheist never would darken the doors of the church. But that night, in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, the fire bell went off and the town church was on fire. All the men came running out and they formed the bucket brigade, and the preacher was at the front of the bucket brigade, turning and taking the water and throwing it on the fire. And he got to throwing it and watching what he was doing, and lo and behold, it was the town atheist that was handing him the bucket. And they got to talking, and the preacher said, well, son, I ain't never seen you in church before. And the atheist said, I ain't never seen it on fire before either, preacher. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, folks. Problem in a lot of churches is, we just need a little fire about us. Now let me give you some great theology here tonight. This is Aaron theology. If you always do what you've always done, then you'll always get what you've always got. That's good, ain't it? Now you need to look at somebody and say, that was good. Amen. Now listen. You know what the second smartest man in the 20th century, you know what his description of insanity is? Albert Einstein. And I know y'all are looking at me saying, why is Albert Einstein the second smartest man in the 20th century? Because I was born in the 20th century. Amen. You know what his definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing, the same way, expecting different results. He said, that's insanity. Boy, aren't we guilty of that? We say, well, it's a new day in my Christian life, but I'm going to keep doing things the same way and get some different results. This don't work. Let me give you a little example. What's your name? Adam. Me and Adam, now y'all just play make-believe with us. Me and Adam like chocolate chip cookies. I come to Adam, I say, Adam, come down the house. I got this chocolate chip cookie recipe. I'm going to cook it, and son, me and you just going to pig out. Oh, we're going to have a good time. Oh, they're going to be good. And I go down, I get my little recipe out, and I don't know anything about cooking, but I get my pan out, and I get my shortening. I got me some Crisco shortening, some Nestle's Toll House cookies, and Martha White flour, whatever you're supposed to have. And I got all them ingredients. And it says preheat the oven to 350 or whatever. Then I preheat it for 30 minutes. I grease my pan. I slide them in. Boy, me and Adam, we just sat there and wait. We just slobber running off our chin. We can't wait on them. Pull them out. Lord, there they are. Me and Adam, he beats me to the pan. I don't get none. I said, well, we're going to have to do that again. You know what? I go through the same recipe with the same Nestle's Toll House morsels, the same Crisco shortening, the same flour, put them in the same pan, put the same oven to the same temperature, slide them in, let them cook for the same length. And guess what? When I pull them out, Adam ain't going to get nowhere near because I'm going to knock his running lights out. We're going to eat them again, and they're going to be good. But you know what? About 3 or 4 pans later, Adam says, Brother Aaron said, I kind of tired of chocolate chip cookies. I kind of like peanut butter cookies. Let's do them this time. And I said, all right, Adam, you got it. Now, here's where the Baptists come in. But Adam, son, you're fixing to lay your chops on some peanut butter cookies. It'll die. You'll die for it. But you know what I do? I go back to the same kitchen, get the same pan, get the same flour, get the same Nestle's Toll House chocolates, get the same grease, put them in the same oven, set at the same temperature, cook them for the same length, and then pull them out, give one to Adam, and he said, preacher, this ain't no chocolate chip cookie or peanut butter cookie. It's chocolate chip. I said, well, Adam, I don't understand. I decided I wanted chocolate chip this time, or peanut butter this time. We decided, we agreed we was going to do that. Do you know where the big mistake is? I didn't change the recipe. Oh, I'm going to give you something so profound here tonight. Oh, this is going to be profound, ain't it? You're glad I'm picking on your brother and leaving you alone, ain't you? Woo! You know what? You know what's so profound tonight? Here it is. If you want life to be different, you've got to change the recipe. Amen. Wow. I got a feeling there's some women thinking right now. Amen. How can I get that scoundrel to change his recipe? You know what? When it comes to churches, and this don't ever happen up here. This is just the ones in LaGrange. Preachers hear things like this.
Well, we've never done it that way in our church.
You know what? There's two basically wrong premises with that statement. Number one, if you've never done it that way, I used to tell them if wanted to anyway. They said, preacher, we've never done it that way. And I said, well, did it ever occur to you that perhaps you've never done it correctly? Oh, amen. What? Oh, yeah. Just because you've been doing something for 100 years don't mean it's right. If it was wrong when you started and you're still doing it the same way, it's still wrong. Duh. Oh, well. You know what the second thing is wrong with that? I told you last night. It's not our church. You say, we don't do things like that in our church. It ain't your church. It ain't about you. Never has been. What? Never will be. What's it about? Jesus Christ. Amen. I know of a church where the pastor wanted to take the room where the artificial flowers were stored and make a prayer room out of it. When he moved the flowers out, the little blue-haired ladies, and God bless y'all, I love you, amen. But the little blue-haired ladies came to him and said, preacher, we've always stored our flowers in this room. You're just going to have to find somewhere else to pray. Boy, I know of a church where a pastor was preaching one Sunday morning. You wouldn't believe some of the things I found out. And he told me, he said, Aaron, while I was preaching, he said, I got in a big way and I walked down to the communion table and said, I don't know why I done it, but I moved it about like that. I didn't move it by an inch. That's all it did. And he said, well, he's going out, this lady, and I ain't picking on you ladies. I love ladies, but it's just the stories I know. Lady called him out in the vestibule. And told him, said, preacher, I am highly offended with you today. And he looked at her and said, ma'am, why? She said, you moved the communion table. And this is her quote. Preacher, that communion table was put in that church 75 years ago by my grandfather. And for 75 years, it has been the centerpiece of our worship experience. He said, and you moved it. It's probably a real good thing I wasn't her pastor. Because she'd probably came in the next Sunday and found the thing cut up for kindling wood on the front. I'm going to tell you what. If if a piece of wood is the center of our worship experience, honey, we might as well lock the doors, turn off the lights, the party's over, and go home. Because it's not a piece of wood that's the centerpiece. It's Jesus Christ and a real experience with Him. Bless God. We ought to be excited to come to church. You know what? You know how it ought to be around your house on Sunday morning? It ought to be something like this. Lord, I beat the alarm clock up this morning because I get to go to Sunday school and I get to go to church this morning. Oh, I wake up, honey. We get to go down there and hear Pat Lippum's lead the singing. Oh, I didn't get to sing in his choir if I'm real good. And Lord, we're going to get to hear our good old Sunday school teacher, and we're going to get to put our money in the offering plate when it comes by, and then we're going to get to hear Brother Clifford pray. Oh, bless God. Somebody might get saved today. I'm going to get a break. Woo, come on. I can't wait. Let's go now. That is the way it is around your house on Sunday morning, ain't it? Or is it like another story I heard of a lady, alarm clock went off. She reached over and shook her husband and said, get up. It's time to go to church. He said, I ain't going this morning. She said, why? What's wrong? He said, I just don't want to go. And them folks down there hurt my feelings and I just don't want to go. He went back to sleep. A few minutes later, she shook him again. Said, get up! We're going to church this morning. He said, I done told you you're not, I'm not going. She said, oh, yes, you are. He said, oh, no, I'm not. She looked at him and said, you've got to go. He said, why have I got to go? She said, you're the preacher. Amen. We ought to be excited about coming to God's house. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. A pastor knows he's in trouble. And I don't know why you folks do this. When I say you folks, I don't mean members of this church. I mean anybody that ain't a pastor. I don't know why you folks do us pastors this way. If you don't tell us something bad, don't do it at 5 minutes to 11. Amen. Or 5 minutes to six on Wednesday night or Sunday night. Wait till sometime when we're not at church to tell us. Because inevitably we'll have somebody come up 5 minutes before the service is going to start. Preacher, can I talk to you a minute? I reckon. What? Preacher, I'm just so burdened and concerned. I'm afraid there's sin in the church. You know what the pastor wants to say? I know. I'm looking at it. Get out of here. That's what we want to say. And then y'all, church ought to be excited. You know, you ought to be freed if you want to just throw your hand up, throw it up. If you want to holler amen, just holler amen. Or if you want to just have a little fit, just go, woo-hoo! You ought to be free to do that. When I pastored down at Rope Heights, I was down there 10 years. Juanita Lott loved me to death. I loved her to death. She was the wife of an ex-gunny sergeant, retired Marine. And buddy, she was more dressed right dressed than he was. And I don't even know why I'm telling this really, but I preach there just like I preach here, just like I preach anywhere. If I'm at First Baptist LaGrange, I preach this way. If I'm at Last Baptist and anywhere, I preach this way. It's just me. And I'll get happy every once in a while, and that leg will go to shaking, and I'll go, woohoo! And I'd do that every once in a while, Pat, and I'd look back there, and there she was, four rows back to the inside, and I'd go, woohoo! And she'd go, hmm. She said, preacher, you just embarrassed me to death doing that. I got cut loose one day, and she loved me, and I loved her. I got cut loose one day, and I said, woo! And I looked back there, and she went, hmm. I said, hang on, Nita. This one's for you. Woo! You know what? We ought to be free to do that. We ought to be free to worship God. And I'm going to tell you something. Some folks, though, don't like that spiritual, that type of spiritual worship. They say, Well, you got to be reverent in the sanctuary. Y'all know what Webster describes a sanctuary as? I had to find a place where birds dwell. Amen. Now let me tell you something. There might be some birds in this sanctuary. I don't know. Some folks just don't like that stuff. They want to be reverent in the sanctuary. And man, if anybody sheds a tear, lifts a hand, gets a little excited, oh, it's one of them Pentecostals. Well, glory, I done got way off anyway. Might as well just have a little fun with this. You know, a lot of folks, they'll come up to you, the preachers, after the service, and usually they come in twos. And they'll come up and they'll say, "Preacher, so we just got a problem." Said, "I was looking at the order of the service in the bulletin today, and we got down about halfway. And old Pat Lippum over there, God got a hold of him, and he cut loose with one of them war whoops. And he said, 'Woo, glory!' And I looked on the order of service. Now, I didn't see on there where Pat Lippum was supposed to say, 'Well, glory.' Next thing you know, Sally Jane over here done got both her hands up in the air saying, 'Well, thank you, Jesus.' I looked again. Hey, Sally wasn't supposed to say, 'Thank you, Jesus.' I even had my wife look. I said, 'Ethel, look, do you see on there where that's supposed to?' Ethel couldn't find it either. 'Preacher, we're afraid you're trying to take the church charismatic. We think folks go think we're charismatic.' You know what most pastors want to look at them and say? 'Don't waste your time worrying about that. Nobody would ever make that mistake and think you were charismatic. They might mistake you for being dead, but not charismatic.' And I'm kind of this persuasion. I'm a Christian first and then Southern Baptist through and through after that. But I've kind of learned that a little fire is better than no fire. Wildfire is better than no fire." Hallelujah. Well, glory. Some of you ain't got me figured out yet, have you? Every time you think I'm going to zig, I zag. Amen. But you know what? I wake up in a new world every morning. I have fun. Amen. Where did we come off with this thing? I may not get back to that. But where did we come off with this thing that because we're a Christian or because we're Baptist, we got to look like we've been dipped in dill pickle juice when we come to God's house? Oh, yeah. Some folks come through the back door hunting something to be mad about. Some of you managed to accomplish it before you get here. Amen. I'm nowhere near my sermon outline, but I'm having a ball. Some of you, it happens when you get up in the morning. You men, you roll over, you look at that woman, and that was a mistake. Amen. Amen. Got you in a bad mood right off the bat. Some of you ladies did the same thing. Some of them said, "Did you wake up a little grumpy this morning?" Some of them said, "No, I let him sleep. But I'm going to tell you what happens. We get crossed up and, let me just run this rabbit a little bit. I'll make you a promise. I won't even try to finish that sermon tonight. There ain't no way it's going to happen. But listen. Help! I'm preaching and I can't shut up. Hallelujah. But listen. You wake up in the morning, man. You look at that woman. It's scary. It is scary sometimes. Not my wife, though. Not never my wife. But some of y'all, it's scary. But let me tell you something. Think about this, men. When you look at that woman for the first time in the morning, shortly thereafter, she'll get up and go in the bathroom, and she'll bumble around for 20 or 30 minutes, and she'll come out, and she'll look like a different woman. Amen. Think of it, guys. When she looks at you for the first time in the morning, that's as good as it gets all day long. Am I telling the truth, ladies? Amen. I'm going to tell you something, all you ladies. I know But y'all need to hear this. We didn't turn out like y'all thought we would. And sometimes you get mad at us, but always remember this little pearl of wisdom that has nothing to do with my sermon. We may have asked you to marry us, but you're the ones that said, yeah. You could have said no. Well, preacher, if we'd known it, we would have. Well, la-da-da-da-da. Well, glory. I'm on a roll here. You know, and I got to shut up. But somebody says, preacher, talking about that makeup. Well, I said, what do you think about a woman wearing makeup? I said, oh, I'm for it. I'm for it. I said, and there's some I need to know that needs a lot more of it. But, you know, I said, I'm for it because I think any old barn looks better with a fresh coat of paint, don't y'all? I heard the women go, ooh. But listen, folks, do you see what's happening here tonight? Do you see what's happening? We're laughing. You know, this is unheard of. In most churches, it's unheard of to come in and have a good time. In some churches, the only thing that's missing during the worship service is the body. Because it's dead, dead, dead. It's a funeral service. Did I tell you all about the Big Baptist Church the other day? Wasn't in LaGrange, but Big Baptist Church had hundreds of folks in it. A guy was sitting there during the worship service and fell over dead with a heart attack. They called 911. The EMTs come running in. They hauled 8 of them out before they got the right one. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Clifford, you're going to have to come help me. I don't know where I'm at or how I got here. Heard nothing about a little fella come in the back of one of them Big Baptist churches. Can a gallon of milk. He tripped. And when he tripped, the milk spilled. Come running down that aisle. Time it got down to the altar, it turned into ice cream. That's cold church, ain't it? I just got to quit. God's taking this thing in a totally different direction tonight than what I was going to preach it. How to build a spirit-filled church. I'm going to tell you where it begins at. It begins with doing just what we've done tonight. To come into God's house and laugh. Have a good time while you're here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I told you a while ago, y'all trying to figure me, still trying to figure me out. Going on 3 years now, I've been the associational missionary for the Troup County Baptist Association. Some of them are still trying to figure me out. They ain't used to this. But you know what? It's all right. God made us different. And the man who can't laugh at himself is a miserable man. Do you know where somewhere along the way we lost it? Church is not a pleasure. It's not a joy to come to. It's something we have to do. It's a chore. And I want you to hear me say something. And I've been preaching for over 20, probably 27, 28 years. Been saved. I don't know if I've been preaching that long. Pastored for well over 20. Been the associational missionary for over about 2.5 years. Hear me say something. The day that preaching and serving God becomes a chore to me will be the day I hang it up. Because God knew how I was when He saved me. Honey, He made me. He knew I wasn't right when He made me. You know what God's probably doing in heaven right now? He's probably slapping his knee, belly laughing, calling all the angels around, saying, come here, sir. Look at this idiot, and I didn't give him but half a brain, and he's trying to use it. Woo! Some of y'all can relate, can't you? Listen, folks. Now, some of you may get upset tonight and say, well, he was put on a comedy show tonight. Well, if you want to feel that way, go on and feel that way. Go bless somebody else. Amen. I used to tell my folks that. He comes and says, well, preacher, we don't like the way you're doing things, and we're going to leave and go to another church. And I said, good. That's blessed subtraction. Amen. I done had all your blessings. I can stand anyway. Go bless another pastor with your sourpuss attitude. You know, I don't know what it was, Brother Clifford, but I think I was a magnet for ginners when I pastored. Y'all know what a ginner is? And when they ain't at the business meeting, they don't know what it is. They still again it. Amen. I had a lot of good folks too, though. But you know what? The Bible says that laughter does the heart good, like a medicine. I promise you tonight, and I'm about to close, there's probably somebody that come into this place tonight, and your day has gone down to tubes in a handbasket. When you thought it couldn't get any worse, it did. Probably the only reason you're here tonight is because somebody else made you come or wanted you to come or might even shamed you into coming. I don't know. Some of you singers may be here the only reason you're here. You knew you had to sing tonight. I don't know. Brother Clifford may be here because he's the pastor tonight. Miss Doris made him come. I don't know. Pat might be in the same boat. Miss Jane made him come. So you got to go lead the singing. That's why. But I promise you, there's somebody here tonight that you came in and you was in the gutter. But you're leaving out of here tonight. You've laughed. You forgot about your problems a little while. And you've had a good time in Jesus. And that's the first point of building a Spirit-filled church. It's got to be a place where you have a good time in God. It's got to be a time and a place where you come in and you're blessed. It's got to be a time when you come in and like the people you're with. Bless God, you don't get a choice of the folks you work with, but you do get a choice of the ones you go to church with. And it's got to be folks you love. Don't know how I got here. Don't know how this is going to help anybody. You're welcome to come look at this outline tonight. I got about 7 more pages that I didn't even get to. And what I did get to, a lot of it wasn't on what's on the outline. But I know tonight I've done what God wants me to do. What a blessing tonight. Now I want you to do what God wants you to do. We're going to have an altar call in just a moment. Brother Pat, you care if I get them singing again? That wouldn't hurt your feelings. Y'all know y'all got something y'all can do for an altar call or something. And we're just going to open this old altar up. And we might even do again like we did last night. We might just get you to go smile at somebody. I tell you what. I might hear in a little bit. I don't know. Just how the Lord works.